I'm going to read the account of Palm Sunday from Luke 19, which is on page 1054, if you're using one of the Bibles that's around church. After Jesus had said this, he went ahead of them going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'"
For everybody here who's good at skipping, here we are. All right. Come on then, Beth, come and show us. Put your hop where your mouth is. There we go. Well, let me take the price tag off. So it only says £1 from Barnardo's. But anyway, sort of, I can tell what I was doing on Friday afternoon. Let's... Oh, mum is being sensible. Excellent. That was really, really quite spectacularly good. Yes. Somebody else, did you say you? Yeah. Yeah, come on then. Is there anybody else? Anybody more grown up? Oh, can you skip? Now, we're going to have to make these much shorter, aren't we? Would you like to come and help here, Rachel? I'm getting tangled here. No, that's got heavy handles as well. That's sort of a gym one, really. That's why I wanted him to come out. There we go. Does anybody know of any adult here who's good at skipping? Sort of thing that Silke could do, I should imagine. Excellent. Now, I know it's a bit early, but I think you deserve one of these. Not before dinner. Oh. Now, what skipping is a fun thing to do, apparently. It's all right, I'm looking for... Oh, there it is. Okay. Now, imagine that... our country had been taken over by a foreign power, and our country was into skipping in a big way. You know, we have Premier League skipping down to amateur skipping, we have adult skipping, we have kids skipping, we have men skipping, we have ladies skipping, we have all sorts of skipping going on, and this new government is just a bit frightening and people are worried. And one day they make a new law that says skipping is completely banned and will be punished by imprisonment if you ever do it again, Beth Richardson. Sent to prison for skipping doesn't seem fair, does it? But that's the law. And imagine that I need two people here to represent young people under this cruel regime. Money is involved. All right, you two, come forward. Hey, Granville. So, imagine that this new government... Just stay. You can just sit there for a moment if you want. Just imagine for a moment that this new government then bans all televisions, all computer monitors, all game stations, all iPads, all tablets, all mobile telephones. It's all... Sorry? Well, there'll be no Facebook. Yeah. And school... So it's all gone. And then they ban school. Now, what are you going to do with your time? Well, they've got the answer. I mean, given that you can't even skip in your spare time. Well, they've thought of that. In order to keep all under 15s out of harm's way, they just have to go to work instead. Some get sent to the fields to work. Some get sent to the fish quay to gut the fish, Max. Some have to sweep the streets and pick up litter, Elijah. Some have to sort through all the junk taken to the recycling depot, but that's a girl's job. They're all horrible things. But there is some good news. There is some good news, and that is that at the end of the day, you each get paid £1. £1 for your day's work. There's £1 for you, and there's £1 for you. And you're just about to go off and spend it on sweets and crisps, which haven't quite yet been banned, when your employee says, oh, just a minute, excuse me, just hold your money out again. The government says you've got to pay tax of 60 pence for every pound you earn. So that leaves you with 40, which won't even buy a self-respecting bar of chocolate in this day and age, will it? Yeah. No. Except that's the only money your family's got to live on. So that money would really have to go back to feed everybody. That's all the money there is. I'll let you decide what you do with it. Go back to your seats. You see, good news, bad news. Good news is you get paid, bad news is you get taxed heavily. You don't have enough money to feed your family on 40p a day, I would think. Not unless you're very frugal. And you end up poor and in debt. And how would we feel living like that? Freedom is a very precious thing. The freedom to live our lives without someone else forcing us to do what they want us to do, making our lives a misery. It's a precious thing to be free. And in Jesus' day, the Jewish people living in Palestine didn't have the freedom to live as they wanted. The Romans were in charge of their country. And they made all sorts of laws that the Jewish people had to keep. Big laws and little petty laws, but laws nonetheless. And one of the worst things they did was they taxed the people heavily. They wanted their money. I mean, how were the rich leaders to live without the poor giving them their money? I mean, the rich people didn't have any money of their own. They had to take it from the poor people, and the rich people expected to live affluent lives with great entertainment and great food and great comfort. And that was the sort of world in which Jesus came. And I wonder if you can imagine the excitement for those people when Jesus rode into Jerusalem one day on a donkey with his followers shouting in a loud voice, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest." These people would have heard that God's King, his Messiah, was here. They would have understood from history, their history, that this meant they were about to be set free from the Romans who were making their lives a misery. Freedom! So they picked up palm branches or bits of palm branches and they shouted, "Hosanna!" Hosanna! Finally, their Messiah had come to set them free. God's King would reign over them once again instead of the Romans. But the people got it wrong about what Jesus had come to do for them. Jesus didn't come to set the Jewish people free from Roman occupation. He came to bring an altogether different and bigger and better kind of freedom to all people. He came to set people free from the power of sin ruling over them. And the way he did that was by saying, "Because you've rejected God, because you won't walk his way, because you're always putting yourselves first, because you're never thinking of others first, because of all that stuff that is the opposite way to God's way for the world, you really don't deserve to live. And there's only one penalty for sin, the sin that every single human being, including me and including you, commits, is death. And Jesus comes and says, "But I'm riding into town to set you free from that. I'm riding into town so that you can know God and know God who loves you and live in the love God has for you and the love God has for everybody. You can live anew, a living, eternal way. But first, somebody has to pay the price for all the wrong in the world. And I'm going to do that." And that's why we'll be back here, some of us, on Good Friday, to remember exactly what he did, where he gave his life. He was put to death for things he didn't do to pay the price for things we do. He comes to give us hope. Dying and rising again from the dead, Jesus offers to every single person freedom. The chief priest, who in that extract from the Miracle Maker says something quite prophetic but totally opposite to what he means or what he thinks he means. He says, it is necessary that one should die, that we should all be free. He didn't realize what he was saying, did he? One had to die so that we can all be free, and that one was Jesus, God's own Son. So we can know freedom, for he has paid for all our sins. We can know freedom from judgment because he has adopted us into his family. And one day we will die, all of us will stop living this life, and we will stand before God, and he will say to his Son, Jesus, do you know her? Do you know him? And Jesus will say, yes, I know Eric, I know Veronica, I know Joyce, I know Hazel, I know Vera, I know Alice. Why? Because there was a time when they said, I understand what you've done for me. Thank you. I accept that gift. And ever since then, we've been friends. We've walked together. Other people will get there, and God will say, Son, did you know him? Do you know her? And he'll say, no. You know, I did all that for them, but they never wanted to know anything about it. They never wanted it to make any difference to their lives. And the Father will say, well, we honour their decision. It's a future of relationship with God and relationship with others such as we could not imagine. That's heaven. But hell is having no relationship with anybody at all, being totally on our own. When people talk about it, they sometimes talk about hell and they say, oh, I'm looking forward to the party, you know, it's going to be great, we're going to be drinking, and do dance and do this, that, and it. Well, actually, they're not. Because it will consist of just one person on their own, living eternally, but never able to share anything with anyone. That's a bit heavy for Palm Sunday and a family service, isn't it? But let's understand what's at the core of our gospel, what we're looking into this week. We're looking into Jesus facing the most horrific circumstances for himself, but doing it willingly so that we can be set free to have the future with him. And it's for us to say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. Yes, Jesus, I receive that gift of forgiveness. I'm yours. Don't ask me whether this person or that person or the person out there is going to end up in heaven or not. That's God's decision. And God has his own way of dealing with people. That's his decision and his justice. But what we know and what we proclaim is that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And if people who haven't followed that, if you like, typical, normal, as we understand it, evangelical way of becoming a Christian, or if they've been born in a different country into a where there's a different faith, God has his way of sorting out. And if they're in heaven at the end of things, it's because Jesus got them there. Just like Jesus gets you there. So today on this Palm Sunday, let's celebrate Jesus, the King of Freedom, who offers us such a wonderful gift. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our closing song. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to set us free. He doesn't take away our freedoms, he gives us our freedoms. And we praise you for him. And we say, Lord, we want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. We want him to be our leader, and we want to know his forgiveness. And we want to know the freedom to share your love with others. So come to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Just one.